I would like to read a short passage from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 48, from verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves, and hear, which among them has declared these things. The Lord has loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God, we believe with all our heart that God has spoken at all times, whether it was to Jacob or to Israel, and what he has spoken, he has then carried out. We know that God does not make empty words, but what he says, he carries out, and he brings it to fulfillment, whether it was to Jacob, whether it was to Israel, whether it was in the days of the apostles or in our days. He brings to fulfillment what he has spoken. And we know that there is no one else who made heaven and earth, who is the first and the last, but he is and will remain so for all eternity. And so we are grateful to him that he also made us to praise his holy name. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Yes, we know. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee. That is the wonderful thing. We have not been taught by men, but by the living God. God does need people, yes. But he put his word into these people, and they had to bring it. And we believe this with all our hearts, that we have not been given the word of men, but his precious and holy word. And for this we want to offer him praise, honor and glory for all time, also tonight. And I believe he will tell us tonight what he wants to tell us through his precious and holy word. Do you all believe that? I certainly do. He will speak to us what he has to say to us. And even if sometimes his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, but it's a good thing. It cuts away everything that doesn't belong in our lives. It cleanses us of everything so that we are prepared for his soon coming. May his name be highly praised and glorified even in this evening hour. Let us stand and pray together. Faithful God, we are gathered here again this evening in your precious and holy name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the words you have spoken. You spoke to the prophets of old, and they then had to pass on to the people the words that you placed in their hearts and that you spoke to them. Whether it was to Jacob or to the people of Israel, Lord, we thank you. You have not yet ceased to speak. You have remained the same from the beginning to the end. Oh, we are so grateful for this. And we are also so glad, Lord, that you still speak to us. For you have loving intentions towards your people. You teach us the right way. You tell us what we need, Lord. And we are very grateful for that. Take everything away from us tonight. Cut off everything, Lord, that is not of you, Lord. And mold us, Lord, so that we fit into your kingdom, into your glory, into that glorious city that you are preparing for your people, for your bride, Lord. Make me ready, Lord. Make us all ready, Lord, that we can go in there, O Lord, as you have promised us. For you have described it so precious to us through your servant and prophet, Lord. And we not only want to have read it, but we want to see it, Lord. We do not only want to believe it, but we want to see it, Lord. Give grace, Lord, even tonight, to hear and to speak, Lord. We worship you. Take everything that disturbs out of us. Let us come before you with open hearts, Lord. We thank you for all that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord for giving us the privilege to be here again, to worship. When you hear God's word, I think we all feel the same way. It goes to our hearts. It speaks to us. And we always ask ourselves whether it does accomplish what it was sent to do. Every promise has been fulfilled in our Lord from the first to the last. It was said where he would be born. In Micah 5 it is written, and he was born in Bethlehem. It was said what he would do, that he would suffer, that he would die, that he would rise again, that he would ascend to heaven. Everything was foretold, and everything was fulfilled. And he said, I will come again, and he will come again. So there is no doubt about the fulfillment of the word of God, about our Lord Jesus Christ. But I think we have to start believing. I say this on purpose, that every word must also be fulfilled in us who have become believers. He is the head. We are his members. He is the light, and we the shine. He the master. We are the brothers. He is ours. We are his. There is no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for all sons and daughters of God, for all who are destined to behold the glory of God. And our Savior said, all whom the Father has given me will come to me, and I will give them eternal life, and not one of them will perish or be lost, but only the son of perdition, who was destined for it. And here, in this marvelous word. As you know, the prophet Isaiah was just the greatest prophet of all in terms of the plan of salvation. There is no other prophet who said everything like the prophet Isaiah. And we know that in chapter 65, 66, there is even talk of the new heaven and the new earth. This prophet has already written down God's plan of salvation in a marvelous way in advance. I don't always want to read what has already been read. It's almost my habit. But if it is written here, I have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him. And he shall make his way prosperous. I, the Lord, the Almighty God, he has announced it. He has called. He has brought him. He will see to it that his cause is carried out victoriously. And in addition to this, a wonderful word comes to me about the resurrection, and not only that, but about the ascension. Tomorrow is the general celebration of the Ascension Day, but we can already rejoice today that the men of God in the Old Testament foretold the things that would happen. Do not forget this sentence, and he shall make his way prosperous. Not just carry it out, but carry it out victoriously. So, as the victor of Golgotha, he will victoriously carry out what he has begun. In Psalms 68, this is the psalm that speaks of the ascension of our Lord. Psalms 68, here it says, in verse 12, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Verse 18, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. And now comes the verse. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. You will notice that although I read this translation, I sometimes take the liberty of reading another translation because I remember it well. Luther's translation is absolutely more correct here, because he did not come to accept gifts from people. He came to give gifts to people. And you all know, especially those who know two or three languages, how difficult it sometimes is to translate from another language. And so, we take the liberty of saying that. We can also read it in the New Testament. I hope it's a little better there. In Ephesians chapter 4, the same word is written there. Let's see how it is. Yes. Yes, sir. There it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Amen. That's how it is. He has done both. He took up the Old Testament saints, and he poured out the Spirit and gave gifts to the believers. He has done both, and therefore it is so marvelous that even as far as the meaning of words is concerned, we can then say not only by heart but inwardly on the basis of the Holy Scriptures what was meant. And in the New Testament here it is very clear, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Which people? Not the unbelievers, but the believers. And when we read and know that all this was fulfilled for a very specific purpose, not only at the beginning, but also at the end of the New Testament church, God wants to do the same. And I have just looked into the next sermon today and have already discovered a wonderful promise that God will give a mighty outpouring of His Spirit at the end, and it will merge into the rapture. Here, you ascended up on high, you led captivity captive. When the psalmist uttered this back then, no one knew what it was about. They may have asked, what did he say now? Who ascended on high? Who led captivity captive? Who gave gifts to men? Who? And then the answer is in Ephesians 4, in the very next verse, in verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We remember one sermon where Brother Branham literally said that he had ascended so far and so high that he had to look down to see heaven. And that really seems to be the case here. You know what I mean? He ascended so high as he could. That's how high he ascended. It literally says here, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. Up far above all heavens. What that really means, I don't know myself, but I do know that it is so, and that he does not have to look up to see heaven, but that he is so high that he only has to look down. What a grace! He is the victor of Golgotha. You all know that the enemy still has a certain amount of access somewhere and can accuse us by day and by night. And that in Revelation 12 it is written, now he is cast down, the accuser of the brethren, who accuse them by day and by night. Our Lord has ascended above all these spheres, or whatever you want to call it. I say again, as high as could be ascended. He is Lord over all, the victor of Golgotha, over death and hell and the devil. This word is actually a glorious word. He is the same. It's written here, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Beloved, we have a great Lord to whom all power has been given in heaven and on earth, and how little we sometimes trust him. How little is often my faith, and perhaps your faith too, although we have a great Lord who overcame everything, who gave us total redemption by grace on the cross of Calvary. In Psalms 68, there is more. Here is written in verse 20, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. He also knows how to rescue from spiritual death. He knows what to do. After all, he is the counselor and life. And he has taken on fleshly form as life in order to take away the power of death, so that you and I can live forever freed from death. He is a saving God. He knows what to do even against death. But that's not all. This one and that one can give advice. He has applied the advice. He has taken away the power of death. He not only gave advice, he was the counselor. He not only spoke of life, he was life. He not only bore witness to the truth, he is the truth. He is all in all. And he is the God of our salvation, who knew what to do against death, and who applied this counsel and gave us eternal life by grace. We can actually rejoice in this. Verse 25, they have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. Oh, how these prophets may have already seen through the Spirit in visions what God would do. They had already seen the possession of God, which was not yet there. They saw the salvation and grace of God, and it was not yet there, but it was already there, because God had made promises, and what God has promised is already there, even though it is not yet there. Do you realize what we are talking about? In the Old Testament, grace was not yet there, And yet God said to Moses, "To whom I am gracious, and on whom I have compassion, I have compassion." So, when did God's grace begin? It did not begin at all. It was in God and was revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. O God, your possession has been seen, not ours, not mine, but your possession, O God, has been seen. That is what we are interested in, to see the possession of our God. And this is a triumphal procession, the procession of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. And now comes another marvelous verse. Thy God has commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. We know what he has wrought for us. But this is to be preserved in the power of God. And for this he must give us grace and help us. Command, O God, thy strength. Preserve, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. We cannot do it in our own strength. But God can. Why should we not believe and trust him anew tonight and say, Lord, it is your cause, your plan of salvation, your people, your promises, your blessings, your power, your procession, your word. Lord, here we are before your face. Let us pray so that you can answer, praying in such a way that you can hear and grant what we ask of you. Command, O God, thy strength. Preserve thy power. That's the thing. In the beginning, as we all know, the New Testament church was founded in the power of God. And it was a dwelling place and place of manifestation of the Almighty God. And then it says, Gentiles have trodden down your sanctuary. And now God has restored and brought it back. Now he wants to preserve what he has given back. Command, O God, thy power. Preserve in strength, O God, what you have wrought for us. What has God wrought for us? A full salvation after spirit, soul, and body. And yet we must admit that it is not here in power as God gave it in the beginning. But we believe that he will restore and that we will come to the point by grace where the believers were in the beginning, and that he will carry and sustain us. Sustain in strength, not in weakness, but in power, O God, what you have wrought for us. May this be the main thought of our prayers tonight. Preserve for your people the blessings of all that you have purchased for us, the full salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Keep it for us, O God, in power, by grace, what you have wrought for us. Do we all believe that he has purchased us a full salvation? Do we believe it with all our heart? Not that we want to stick out our chest a little and say, yes, I believe, those days are all over. But I mean that we can believe in our hearts, and this out of complete conviction, that we have become a part of God's word and plan, and that we have been crucified with Christ, buried with him, resurrected with him, and have already been transferred into heavenly places. In Christ, the work of God has already been completed for you and for me. In the eyes of God, a church without spot or wrinkle already stands before the throne of grace, on which the blood of atonement has been sprinkled. We all know that the blood of our Lord did not somehow fade away in the sand, but as it is written, that he entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies once and for all. And this blood is on the altar, on the mercy seat. And as long as it is the time of grace, the blood speaks for us. No one needs to ask how it all happened. No one can explain it. But we can believe it with all our heart and know that God has not only promised it, but has already done it. Now to verse 7 from Psalms 69. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. This is another thought that the psalmist expresses here, and he speaks it through the Spirit from your heart and mine. When people seek God, where can they find him? Only where he can be found, and where he speaks and works. We know very well that people seek God everywhere. In nature, they look for him in the mountains, in the valleys, in different religions, everywhere, but not where he can be found. And we know that God was in Christ and reconciled the world to himself. We find him where he is, but I and all of us must also bring this prayer before the Lord. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake. Do you see what this is about? Here a man of God has spoken the words of God, and hope has arisen in those who have heard these words, and he wanted to see them fulfilled. He says, let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake. Not those who put their hope in me, but in you. But he was the bearer of God's word, and he wanted to see what he said fulfilled, so that people would not be disappointed. Perhaps Some were hoping to see it at that time and went home in that hope and went to be with the Lord. But we live in a time when every hope becomes a reality and is realized. Let none who hope in you be disappointed because of me. That is a wonderful word. O God, O Lord of hosts, do not let those who seek you, O God of Israel, be ashamed because of me. Are we not all challenged from the first to the last? And is this not something that God also wants to put on our hearts? I wish it, not just tonight, but for the rest of my life. And I want to make this my prayer. O God, do not let those who hope in you be disappointed because of me. O God, O Lord of hosts, do you notice the accumulation? O God, O Lord of hosts. We notice exactly when someone becomes fervent in prayer, then there is a certain accumulation. And we notice that here. Let not those who hope in you be disappointed because of me. O God, O Lord of hosts. Do not let those who seek you, God of Israel, be ashamed because of me. Not those who seek the psalmist, but those who seek God. Not those who seek me or you, but those who seek God. Let them find him through you and through me. Like those who came to Jerusalem at that time, they wanted to see Jesus. And Philip from Bethsaida told them that he was there, and he was able to show them the way. Let them not be disappointed because of me. May God lay it on my heart and on the hearts of all of us, that we may move these thoughts which were expressed and written down by the Spirit of God. Let us bring them before God in prayer. May the Lord build a church in which no one who hopes in the Lord will be disappointed. And may everyone who seeks God find God. And again we come to the question, where should they find him? Only where he can be found. And God wanted to dwell amongst his people. And on the third day he rose from the dead. And then after the 40 days he ascended into heaven and led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. We read in Matthew 27 that many came out of the tombs at his resurrection and appeared to many in the holy city. He led the captives up. And when he had reached the top, after the 10 days of waiting, he poured out the Spirit and gave gifts to his people on earth. We are waiting for this and want to do it in faith, but really in faith, and say, Lord, we are your people. We pray you to fulfill every promise. Let no one be ashamed who puts his hope in you. I'm quite honest about that. When people come and say, Brother Frank, I would like to be baptized in the Spirit, then sometimes I get the impression that they somehow think I can mediate, and then I feel sad inside. But if it is clear from the beginning that people, even if they come to those who minister with the word, but place their hope and expectation in God alone. Then they will receive what they ask for. We are only God's ministers. We only lay hands on in this case. We do not give salvation or healing or any blessing or spirit baptism. But we unite with those who seek God in prayer so that they may find God and experience God. But the hope and trust and expectation must be for God. And He is more than able to give what we ask of Him. O God, let not those who seek You, O God, be disappointed because of me, and let not those who seek You be ashamed. No, let them not be ashamed or put to shame. They shall find God, they shall experience God. And we have read that the same One who ascended is the same One who descended to the lowest parts of the earth. He is the same. He is still the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. May God give us faith and confidence, and let us now thank Him from the bottom of our hearts and praise His name in short prayers, so that many can pray. Amen. Let us stand up. Faithful Lord, I too would like to thank You once again from the bottom of my heart for Your precious and holy word that You spoke through the mouth of Your prophet ages ago. I thank You for it, and I worship You. You have not spoken in secret. You have not worked in secret. You have made promises and have fulfilled them. I thank You for that. You have done all that was written of You, O Lord. You came to this earth, revealed as the Son of God in the flesh. You suffered death. You descended into the lowest parts of the earth. You took away the power of death. You ascended. Hallelujah. You delivered from the power of death those who had put their hope in You. For Thy blood, the blood of the covenant, was shed on the cross of Calvary, and You took it up to the throne of grace to intercede for us. Lord, I ask You, like Your prophet, keep us in Your power. What You wrought for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, do not let anyone who believes in You be put to shame. Let no one be disappointed who seeks You. Lord, it is our most fervent prayer. Create for Yourself a people on earth, a church in which You can take dwelling, people whom You can use as You please. O God, let us immediately experience the hour in which You stand by Your word and answer. You are the same, the One who ascended, the One who descended, the One who died, the One who rose again, the One who will come again. You are the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Faithful Lord, we have heard your word and have taken it into our hearts by faith. O God, confirm thy word by grace. Thank you for your closeness. Thank you for your presence and for the work of your Holy Spirit. Faithful God, praise, honor, and glory be offered to you for all eternity, for we will see the procession of our God, and great was the company of those that published it. We will still sing of the victory of God in the tabernacles of the righteous. Jesus, thou Son of God, Lord of glory, King of kings, Lord, accept us by grace and bless your people here and everywhere. You know those who are yours. Guide them, lay your hand on them, and speak to us all through your word and through your Holy Spirit. I thank you again for the Bible, O God, for all the prophets through whom you have spoken, for all the apostles, for all the men of God. O Lord, how marvelous you are! You have abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. Worship and glory be to your holy name. Amen.